We'd like to welcome you all to the June 23rd City Council meeting, and we'll begin with an invocation given by Pastor Tommy Foster of the Harmony Community Baptist Church, and he'll be followed by the Pledge of Allegiance, which will be led today by Councilmember Kavanaugh. If you would all stand for the prayer and remain standing for the pledge. Pastor Foster.
May we pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for looking upon us, and we look to you, and we thank you for our great nation. Thank you for the freedom that rings through our nation. We thank you, Lord, for our leaders of our nation. We pray for them. We pray for those that are sprinkled around the world serving in our military. We ask especially for those that are in the war-inflicted areas of Iraq and Afghanistan. Pray for their families as well. We pray, Lord, tonight for those of our leaders here in the city of Mesa. As they seek your wisdom, we pray that you would guide them in making wise decisions. And we thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful things that have been accomplished in our city, and we look forward to the dreams ahead. We thank you that you are the shepherd of our lives, you're the rock of our salvation, and you're the everlasting hope for all eternity. For this we pray in the name of God Almighty. Amen.
Amen. Would you please join me in the pledge? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Can you make a comment or announcement before we
get? Mr. Higgins, you may.
On behalf of the City Council and the city staff, we would like to congratulate or extend our congratulations to your wife, Kim, yourself, on 30 years of marriage, which is your anniversary today.
I should have ruled you totally out of order. Today is my anniversary. I know that my wife, when she married me, thought that on our 30th anniversary, we would be spinning it together in a council meeting, but that's okay. I've promised her that on the way home, she can choose the drive-through that we go through to get dinner. So we're taking care of her. Thank you, Councilmember Higgins. I'll never forgive you for that. That's okay. The City of Mesa is fortunate to have so many residents who care a great deal about our community. In fact, we're privileged to have over 200 of our citizens that serve on one of 21 citizen advisory boards and committees. These individuals sacrifice a great deal of their time, talent, and energy in helping to build a better Mesa. The city derives a tremendous amount of benefit from the knowledge, experience, and expertise of these civic-minded citizens. Tonight, we'd like to honor 17 of our outgoing board and committee members, each of whom has completed their terms on particular boards, and to thank them for their dedicated service. I know that not every outgoing member is able to be here with us tonight. However, we'll still recognize each individual. I've asked Vice Mayor Jones to read the names of each outgoing member. If you're here, as your name's read, please come up to the podium. We'd like to give you a little token of our gratitude. Vice Mayor Jones. Well, I guess wait just a second.
And once again, thank you to all those who serve us so well in these boards and committees. You've done so much for us, and we appreciate that work. So first on the list, Robert Bergheimer, the Design Review Advisory Board from 2002 to 2008. Okay. Next is Jack Sellers, Economic Development Advisory Board, 1999 until 2008. Thank you. Next is Ted Wendell, Economic Development Advisory Board, 2005 to 2008. All right. Then we have Aaron Sales, Human Relations Advisory Board, from 2005 to 2008. All right, next, Robert Brenton, Human Services Advisory Board, 2005 to 2008. All right, William McDaniel, Human Services Advisory Board, 2006 to 2008. Then Jared Hewish, Industrial Development Advisory Board, 1996 to 2008. Next is Gabriel Say Jr., Industrial Development Advisory Board, 2002 to 2008. Next is Linda Rotman, Judicial Advisory Board, 2002 to 2008. Next is Doug Gerlach, Library Advisory Board, 2002 to 2008. Next we have Dietrich Buxgold, Merit System Board, 2002 to 2008. And Dr. John Hallman, Museum and Cultural Advisory Board, 2002 to 2008. We did invite these folks, didn't we, Brent? Okay. No, we know that schedules are difficult. Next is Bud Page, Parks and Recreation Board, 2002 to 2008. Here we go. Next, we have Dr. Joseph Kayer, Personnel Appeals Board, 2002 to 2008. All right. Rich Adams, Planning and Zoning Board, 2002 to 2008. All right. Following Rich, we have Jared Lankilde, Planning and Zoning Board, 2005 to 2008. Robert Payne, Transportation Advisory Board, 2002 to 2008. And I believe that's it for the list. So again, our sincere thanks to all of you for donating your time and talent. Together, these 17 residents have volunteered more than 98 years of community service to the city of Mesa, and some of them are now even serving on new boards. Let's give them all another round of applause.
Thank you. Reminds me of an awards assembly I went to for a junior high, and they were handing out certificates for perfect attendance. And two of the three recipients were absent. So, first on the agenda, also, before we get going, there's another woman in our presence who needs to be recognized this evening. After many years of faithful service, this is our assistant city manager, Debbie Dollars, last formal official council meeting. She's retiring this week. And Deb, although I haven't had a chance to work with you directly for very long, I'm going to miss out on that. I've done my best to try and talk her out of this, and even that hasn't worked. So Deb, thank you so very much for your years of service. We really appreciate that as a city, as a community. Thank you for your years of service. Thank you.
Mayor, if I could, I just want to say I so appreciate the opportunity to work and serve in the community that I call home. And it is bittersweet, but it's the right thing for me to do at this time. I've enjoyed working under Chris's leadership and know in the years ahead with his ongoing leadership and that of the mayor and council that you are certainly in good hands. So as both a retiree and a citizen, I wish you all the best.
Thank you. And remember, we still have your telephone number. So, okay, now we'll go. First on the agenda is the consent agenda. First item, we'll have this read by Kim West.
Okay. Good evening. All citizens are permitted to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and be enacted with one motion. There'll be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 14A, act on new restaurant license for Tilted Kilt, 1910 South Gilbert Road. Item 15A, act on three-year supply contract for optically controlled traffic control equipment, $191,050.73 annually. Item 15B, act on three-year supply contract for modified asphalt binder, $309,640.32 annually. Item 15C, act on dollar limit increase to supply contract for slurry seal sand, $354,687.26 annually. Item 15D has been deleted. Item 15E, act on purchase of additional components for commercial stage at Mesa Convention Center, $32,478.34. Item 15F, act on purchase for replacement commercial performance stage for Mesa Convention Center, $40,288.51. Item 15G, act on purchase of replacement banquet-style stacking chairs for Mesa Convention Center, $114,973.08. Item 15H, act on purchase of fire hoses, $57,224.64. Item 15I, act on three-year supply contract for uniform garments, $337,904.30 annually. Item 15J, act on dollar limit increase and two-year renewal contract for fire protective clothing, $268,093.95 annually. Item 15K, act on ratification of dollar limit increase for purchase of fire pumper trucks, $38,755.99. Item 15L, act on three-year supply contract for pump repair and deep well maintenance, $375,000 annually. Item 15M, act on three-year supply contract for 69 KV transmission poles and hardware, $620,061.08 annually. Item 15N, act on cancellation of contract to purchase three replacement heavy-duty chassis vehicles and roll-off system. Item 15O, act on mini bus shelters, phase 3, $36,237.30. Item 15P, act on Desert Well number 17, equipping phase, $1,062,664.90. Item 15Q, act on Rose Junior High pool sewer line relocation, $34,650. Item 15R, act on Falcon Field Airport vehicle access control, $1,044,102.62. Item 15S, act on Mesa Amphitheater lighting renovations, $108,550.20. Item 15T, act on HVAC replacement at East Mesa Service Center, $139,300.70. Item 15U, act on roofing maintenance slash improvements at various city buildings, $210,222. Item 15V, act on 2008-2009 sewer video recording contract, $70,510. Item 16A, introduce ordinance for July 1st, zoning KZ08-32, Dobson and the 202 freeway for additional freeway landmark sign. Item 16B, introduce ordinance for July 1st, zoning KZ08-33, 8348 East Plymouth for a rezone. Item 16C, introduce ordinance for July 1st, zoning KZ08-34, 8132 East Culver Street for a rezone. Item 16D, introduce ordinance for July 1st, zoning KZ08-35, 6900 East Ellsworth Road for a rezone. Item 16E, introduce ordinance for July 1st, zoning KZ08-36, 6800 South Ellsworth Road for a rezone. Item 17A, act on resolution to modify fees and charges for the Building Safety Division. Item 17B, act on resolution to modify residential fees and charges for Planning Division. Item 17C, act on resolution to approve submittal for grant application to Fort McDowell Yavapai Indian Nation. Item 17D has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 17E, act on resolution to grant power distribution easement to SRP at 10950 East Elliott Road. Item 17F, act on resolution to vacate alley north of Huber between North Gaylord Circle and North 25th Street. Item 17G, Act on Resolution to Extinguish Portions of Public Utility and Facilities Easement at 2232 South Valverde Street. Item 17H, Act on Resolution to Grant a Public Utility and Facilities Easement at McCullen West of Hawes Road. Item 17I, Act on Resolution to Vacate Portion of Sunview, South Sunview Street and Northeast of Record and Baseline. Item 18A, Act on Ordinance to Amend Mesa City Code pertaining to Residential Development Tax. Item 18B, Act on Ordinance to Amend Mesa City Code relating to Privilege and Excise Taxes. Item 18C, Act on Ordinance to Repeal Mesa City Code relating to Fortune Telling Licenses. Item 18D, Act on Ordinance Zoning KC 07-120 423 South Signal Butte Road for a Neighborhood Commercial Center. Item 19, authorize city manager to enter into an agreement with Mesa Convention and Visitors Bureau to promote Mesa. Item 19.1 has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 20A, Act on Subdivision Plat, Aquaterra Residences, 1038 West Grove Avenue. Mayor and Council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kim. I have requests from citizens to remove items 17A and 17B and 18C from the consent agenda. Ms. Crocker, do we have any more requests from citizens?
No additional requests, Mayor.
Are there any requests from council members to remove any additional items? 17A, 17B, and 18C. Okay, do I have a motion? I have a motion to approve from Councilmember Summers, a second from Councilmember Kavanaugh. Do we have any discussion? If not, please vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative. The next item on the agenda, item number 3, is to conduct a public hearing concerning the 5-year capital improvement program for fiscal years ending 2009 to 2013. I'll declare the public hearing open. Ms. Crocker, are there any requests from citizens?
No requests, Mayor.
Are there any discussion from council members? If not, we'll declare the public hearing closed. Item 4, conduct a public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2008 and 2009 budget plan. I have two requests from citizens to discuss this. Mary Cardle Smith. Ms. Hartle-Smith, thank you so very much for being here. Please state your name and address for the record, and remember we have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Looking for the microphone. There, okay. Mayor Smith and members of the City Council, my name is Mary Hartle-Smith, and I'm a homeowner, resident of Mesa, and I just wanted to say that the Ride Choice program that provides some assistance with transportation for people who can't drive is very, very helpful. And I would just ask that you continue to fund Ride Choice as a way to assist people who can't use those city buses to be able to get where they need to go. In Mesa and around the East Valley, and also to try to relieve some of the pressure on the Dial-A-Ride program, and so that can be used by people who can't use a car, can't ride in a car or a cab. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Mr. Mark Felix.
Honorable Mayor, City Council members, my name is Mark Felix. My address is 1038 West Hillview Street, and I live here in Mesa. And I'm here as the president of the East Valley chapter of the National Federation of the Blind. We are the largest consumer advocacy group and the strongest, I believe. And I'm here just to speak in general of transportation. This is where I call home. This is where, members of the East Valley, most of us call home. We want to keep it that way. We want it to be something we can be proud of and continue to be proud of. We want to be able to just enjoy Mesa as all of us should be able to do. We want to feel like we're worthy citizens and getting out into the community as all of us should be able to do freely and independently. So I'm just here to say that continue to fund transportation. Look at it pretty carefully as you go through budgeting and you know, take every measure to consider those who do not drive, and also consider those who are driving that maybe can be enticed not to. You know, now is the time to be thinking of that, as we all know. So my wife drives, and we have a car, and I do know the gas situation. So it's something to consider on the sighted population as well. But just here to say, you know, keep the funding coming. When Prop 400 monies come in, you know, use that, but also continue our city funding to support what Prop 400 is also doing. Thank you very much.
Mr. Felice, thank you so very much for your comments. We appreciate that. Ms. Crocker, are there any other requests to speak?
No additional requests, Mayor.
Any council members wish to speak on this issue? There be no one else to speak, I'll declare the public hearing closed. Next item is to conduct item number 5, conduct a public hearing concerning district cooling, irrigation, water, natural gas, reclaimed water, solid waste, wastewater, water rate components, fees, and or service charges increases. Ms. Crocker, do we have any requests to speak on this item?
No requests, Mayor.
Any member of the council wish to speak on this? There being no requests to speak, we'll declare this public hearing closed. Items number 6 through 13 are actions related to ordinances and that were introduced a couple weeks ago in our last meeting. And if everyone on council agrees, I would recommend that we consider items 6 through 13 as a single item. We've removed these from the consent agenda because of the public hearing. By statute, they cannot be considered on the consent agenda. So if we have no objections from council members, we'll consider this in one motion. And Kim, if you could come up again, got to keep you busy, and give us a summary of items 6 through 13. Thank you.
Item 6, act on ordinance and resolution modifying rates for district cooling. Item 7, act on ordinance and resolution modifying rates for natural gas utility services. Item 8, act on ordinance and resolution modifying rates for water utility services. Item 9, act on ordinance and resolution modifying rates for wastewater utility services. Item 10, act on ordinance and resolution modifying rates for solid waste utility services. Item 11, act on ordinance and resolution modifying terms and conditions for sale of utilities. Item 12, act on ordinance and resolution modifying fees and charges for utility customers. Item 13, act on ordinance and resolution modifying utility service fees.
Thank you, Kim. Ms. Crocker, are there any requests to speak on these items?
Mayor, there are no requests to speak.
Does anyone in the audience wish to speak that hasn't turned in a blue card? Okay. Is that a no?
He wants to speak.
You want to speak? Come on up, and you can fill out a card afterwards. Please state your name and address for us for the record, and then you can fill out a blue card later.
I'm Leroy Eshelman, Jr., 1641 East Dana, here in Mesa. I have a thought regarding our solid waste, and I want to know why we seem to not be promoting very heavily recycling. And we so willingly allow our landfill to be continually filled with recyclable items. Why we don't enforce the trash barrel overflowing. I remember looking at the rates and seeing that there was a pullback, stipulation allowing pullback, and yet containers stay out sometimes all week. May I respectfully suggest that we begin enforcing some of those things? And with respect to our recycling, that we provide a credit to people who use recycling. Since we do make money and we don't have to pay a dump fee, and that we also either that or enforce a much higher charge for the black barrel pickup, or charge by weight for it, as they are in some areas of the world. By doing that, we could promote recycling and not overfill our landfill. We have a tremendous amount of recycling that can be seen by anybody driving down the street and looking at the black barrels just from the street. Either that or another option, if they obviously have a lot of recycling in them, allow for a special sorting pickup. That's probably the extent of my remarks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Do we have any comments from council members? Council Member Summers.
I'd like to thank the gentleman for showing up and making his comments, and maybe I'll throw this out to Jack if we can make some brief comments on Mesa's recycling program. I do know we have a successful one, both Blue Barrel and Green Barrel as well for the bio waste. And I know when we started this program, just on a personal note, my garbage can went from full every week to almost nothing. Now we try to cram as much material in as we can in a Blue Barrel so it actually gets picked up. So what, briefly, would you describe the program, how well it's working, where people can go to get more information on recycling in Mesa?
Certainly, Mayor and Councilmember Summers, we've had our recycling program implemented, the Blue Barrel and Green, since 1993 in the city of Mesa. And through the years, we've expanded it incrementally, and we've taken great pride in listening to all of our customers, including people like Mr. Hesselman. And through the years, I think have fine-tuned it and will continue to over the years. We have the option of distributing Blue Barrels where people can put recyclables in there. If they recycle enough, they can actually downsize their black barrel and get a discounted price per month. We also have Green Barrels that allow people to divert green wastes, which is diverted from the landfill also and used as mulch and cover, and sometimes compost. We additionally have household hazardous waste collection days, which again diverts more solid waste from that stream that would go to the landfill otherwise, and continue through Willie Black, who runs the solid waste department, to look at all types of programs throughout the country. Today, we're even developing a recycle for books, a library program, where if we increase the amount of diversion, that'll compute to dollars that can be used for our library services. So maybe we can get Mr. Hesselman's phone number, a contact, and talk to him some more, and we're always willing and open to listen to comments from our residents.
Thank you, Mr. Freeland. Any? Vice Mayor?
I'll just go ahead and jump in here real quick. And Mr. Hesselman, thank you. We're with the recycling, I think my Blue Barrel is usually the fullest one that I put out. But what you're referring to are in areas where people are not taking advantage of the recycling program and tend to overfill their barrels and it becomes a nuisance. And perhaps what we need is more participation from the general public to report those issues so we can address them as necessary, because we do need to make sure that we encourage recycling wherever possible and not to overfill, because it becomes a real problem in those neighborhoods.
I also know Tom Van Tassel and Bob Rivera at the recycling plant since before they ever established that facility there. Great. And before they work in for the present company. And they are a very good resource if you sit and talk to them about some of the things that I just mentioned.
Thank you. Any other comments? I will add my, first of all, a confession. I am a repentant, how do you call it, black barrel guy. I was living under rules that were many years ago when all we recycled literally were plastic bottles and newspapers, and I was, until literally 2 or 3 months ago, unaware of how broad the program was. And I have to admit that, you know, we used to fill the black barrel completely and the blue barrel, you know, if we forgot to take it out on a Friday, no big deal. Now it is flip-flopped. And as Hesselman, said it is a win-win. The more that we run through blue, the less we have to pay in landfill, and we actually get paid for our recycling. So it's not only great for the environment, it's not only a smart and a wise thing to do, but your community and our city actually benefits financially. So we do get the benefit of that. So thank you very much. Any other comments? I'll entertain a motion on items 6 through 13. We have a motion from Councilmember Richens, a second by Councilmember Summers. If there's no more discussion, go ahead and vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative. The motions pass. At this time, we need to recess the, it's recess time. We need to recess the regular council meeting because state law requires that we take formal action on both the budget and the capital improvement program in a special council meeting. So do I have a motion to recess the council meeting? And we have a motion by Councilmember Summers, a second by, you got beat, I'm sorry. Councilmember Higgins, second by Councilmember Kavanaugh. All in favor, or vote, please. Vote is 7-0. We are recessing the regular council meeting, and now we'll convene a special council meeting. The first item in the special council meeting will be to take action on a resolution approving the budget for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2009. This action will take a two-thirds or five affirmative votes from the council. Ms. Crocker, do we have any requests to speak from the audience?
Mayor, there are no requests.
Is there anyone who would like to, who is not, who would like to speak who has not submitted a card? Any discussion from the council? Nothing. I would like to say one. I would like to say one thing regarding this. This is a budget for 2008 and 2009, and I will say on this one we are going to be voting. I'm going to be voting in the affirmative, but I want to say that this is a budget that was processed by the previous council, and it went through a vetting process by staff and by council. And although we have been asked and are required to vote on this for statutory reasons, I was not part of this process. I'm not trying to distance myself, but to say that I will vote in the affirmative because I respect the process. This should not be said that I either oppose nor support the items in this budget because I wasn't a part of that. As we move forward, I think that this council will have the opportunity to have its own process. And I will hope that as we do move forward, we will take the time to sort of make our own imprint. I will say that I will be looking. I know that we've done a lot of good, and we've made a lot of cuts, and we've made a lot of tough decisions, meaning the city and the previous council. I think that I personally will be looking for ways to even do a better job. I know we can be better. I know we can be more efficient. I know we've done a lot in the past, and I look forward to working in the future to be being even better and doing a better job. So thank you for all the efforts to bring us to where we are. And I look really forward to working with staff and with the citizenry to do some great things in the future in 08 and 09 as we begin this process in earnest and go through our own process of making a budget. Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. With those comments, I think it's important for everybody to realize that this is not the budget of the seven members who sit on this dais, nor is the budget of Mr. Brady or the city staff. This is a public budget and a public process, and there are many opportunities for everyone to get involved, either through email contacts, telephone calls, or to show up to any one of a number of meetings that we go through during this public budget process. While of the seven members up here, only two of us remain from the previous council, it doesn't change the fact that there are plenty of opportunities to get involved with the public budget process. And each and every year, almost without fail, there's generally nobody shows up to a meeting. And I especially appreciate, sir, you showing up to discuss what's important to you, which was how can we recycle more? How can the city not only save money, but maybe even make some money on that process? I appreciate the folks on the other side showing up to discuss what's important to them. How can we provide transportation to a portion of our public, not just so they can get around, but so they can be productive members of our society?
These are important conversations we need to continue to have, and I hope that in the coming months and coming years with our new mayor and council, we'll become even more engaged with the public. But it takes both sides of this dais to get that done. We can go out and have these public meetings, but we need you folks to get involved as well, not just the folks in this room, but those of you watching on television. I hope that you get involved with this process as we go on over the next year, continuing to talk about these budget issues and continuing to formulate what will become next year's budget and very soon the bond issues coming forward. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councilmember Summers. Any other comments? I'll entertain a motion. We have Vice Mayor Jones.
Yes, Mayor. Now that the legal notice of publication has been made of the tentative five-year capital improvement program and we have held the required public hearing.
This is the budget, I'm sorry.
Which one?
Oh, yeah, we're doing the budget now.
Capital improvements first.
I called the budget, though.
Yes,
so.
Mayor, you called the budget.
Yeah, I called the budget.
Called the budget. All right, we'll
we have
switch
a
it.
We have a flip-flopped on our paper. Sorry about that.
All right.
My bad.
Well, up to that point, it's the same. Well,
okay.
Mayor, now that the legal publication of the tentative budget for the City of Mesa has been made and we have the required public hearing, we've had the required public hearing, I hereby move that we adopt the legal three-page budget for the City of Mesa for the fiscal year 2008-2009 in the amount of $985,558,000 for the operating portion and $208,101,000 for the scheduled bond capital improvements, for a total city budget appropriation of $1,193,659,000. This dollar amount is less than the tentative budget which the City Council adopted on June 2, 2008. Now I have a technical question. Do we have to do the capital improvement before the budget since it was included in the budget?
It is not legally required.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Vice Mayor Jones. We apologize for the confusion. We have conflicting papers here, but we're okay now. We have a motion by Vice Mayor Jones, a second by Councilmember Summers. Any other discussion by council members? If not, please vote. The vote is 7 ayes and in the affirmative, the motion passes. Now we'll entertain a motion, Vice Mayor Jones, on the capital improvement program.
All right.
And this item requires a majority vote or 4 members.
Okay. Mayor, now that the legal notice of publication has been made of the tentative five-year capital improvement program and we have held the required public hearing, I hereby move that we adopt the five-year capital improvement program for fiscal year 2008-2009 through fiscal year 2012-13.
We have a motion by Vice Mayor Jones, a second by Councilmember Summers. Ms. Crocker, do we have any requests from citizens present?
Mayor, there are no requests to speak.
Okay, any discussion from my council members? Please vote. Okay, the vote is 7-0 in the affirmative, the motion passes. Okay, that completes the agenda for the special council meeting. Do I have a motion to adjourn the special meeting and reconvene the regular meeting? We have a motion by Councilmember Higgins, a second by Councilmember Summers. Please vote. 7-0 in the affirmative. The special meeting is adjourned, and we will now reconvene the council, regular council meeting. The next item on the agenda is item 17A. 17A. Is modifying fees and charges for the building safety division as recommended by the Audit and Finance Committee. We have 2 requests to speak on 17A. Oops, sorry. First of all, we'll hear it from Mr. Robert Bergheimer. Mr. Bergheimer.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I would like to speak on this on behalf of the Professional Society. I'm an architect, as you may know, and also a past president of the American Institute of Architects, the Rio Salado chapter, which is an East Valley chapter here. And I sat on the board for the AIA as well. I want to I'd like to make accommodations to Terry Williams and Christine for getting out to the Professional Society and seeking our input. And I would like to tell everybody that we did have a meeting on this in my office. We've had several meetings. and the professional society was involved, and generally speaking, the professional society is in favor of these increases. One of the major reasons why we're in favor of these is because we recognize the need for the technology upgrades that we are lacking right now and that we're going to need to be having in the future. We understand the Homeowners Association and the home builders and their issues, but we believe that the amounts that we're talking about today are relatively insignificant and will not affect the commercial market. And we recognize that the increases that we need are going to be very instrumental down the road in our success when the economy gets back up. So I just would like to say that we appreciate all their involvement with our group, and the professional society does feel very strongly that these are acceptable. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Berkheimer. We also have a request from Mr. Kendall Baxley. Mr. Baxley, you wanted to speak on 17A and 17B, if you'd like to speak on both issues because they're related, but
go ahead and handle
your
it
choice.
That way. Mayor Smith, distinguished members of council, good evening. My name is Kendall Baxley, and I represent the Home Builders Association of Central Arizona this evening. The association recognizes the city's need to maintain cost recovery with respect to inflation. However, our discomfort currently lies with the timing of these increases. When the market was flourishing, mayor and council, fee increases went by virtually unnoticed, and the development community never objected to any increases. With respect to the current slowdown, builders are rebidding communities 5 and 6 times in order to squeeze out every bit of cost possible, which ultimately results in building homes for practice. The time and effort spent in rebidding communities is significant, and additional application fees will essentially result in extending the market recovery in Mesa. I would like to point out that the previous council made a motion on the 21st of April to consider delaying the increases for a period of 6 months or bring the fees back to the table 1 year from now. The previous council also suggested looking at revenues from commercial submittals to be used as a temporary recovery, as an offset in lieu of increasing the proposed residential planning and building fees. It doesn't appear that any of this information was passed on, but if it was, I was just curious if these options have been considered. The point I would like to make tonight essentially is that residential submittals are virtually extinct at present with no foreseeable increase in volume. Our request tonight, Mayor and Council, is to defer the building and planning fees for the period of 1 year or until viable evidence of a stable market exists. Thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Baxley. Any discussion from council members? Questions? Councilmember Fenter.
Thank you, Mayor. A question for someone at staff, building safety. The question as you're walking up is, if these fees aren't passed, these additional fees, what impact will it have on plan review and building inspections? And then, Mr. Mayor, follow up with Mr. Baxley.
Mayor Smith and Councilmember Fenter. The Building Safety Division is a standalone restricted fund division of the city. So the revenues that come in are directly supported to offset the cost of providing the services to the development community that we provide. We also have to present a balanced budget, as the whole city as a whole has to do. So any reduction in the fees that have been proposed and are on the agenda for this evening will likely result in a reduction in staff. Depending on which fees and to the extent that council would reduce them, there certainly would be cuts in both plan review and field inspections.
Mr. Mayor, follow up then. Do we have a number of positions? And what I'm trying to get to is weighing approving these increases versus the impact on the services that's provided to the development community and trying to weigh those and see what the right answer is.
Councilmember Fenter, if you're specifically referring to the request from the home builders to delay for a year their revenues, the single-family residential fees are about 25% We're probably looking at possibly two positions that would have to be cut.
I got a question. That one or two, that would assume that you had the same level of activity. But even if you increase the fees, if your activity decreases, I'm assuming then that you might still be faced with the same decision, right? So if we didn't issue as many permits, we still have the same reduction in revenue.
Mayor Smith, that would be accurate. Yes, sir.
How have we been, and I apologize for asking you this, but I just thought of it, or off the cuff, how have we been trending as far as residential permits? Are we still headed down? Have we bottomed out? What do you foresee in the next 3, 6, 12 months?
Residential permits in Mesa are running contrary to the rest of the communities because the bulk of our fees, or the bulk of those permits that are being issued for residential today are the larger custom homes. That remains fairly strong in Mesa, going against the rest of the curve. What we have saw a dramatic drop-off is in those single-family residential that are more built by the standard home builders. Those have fallen off almost completely. We are right now, in terms of the number of permits, 6,800 permits as of the end of 10 months is our lowest number of permits for new construction in the last 8 years in the city overall. Commercial is fairly flat, but that's good considering how far down single-family residential is.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Very good.
Any other discussion? If not, please vote.
Do we even have a motion?
Oh, wait. We don't have a motion yet. We're learning. Do I have a motion? I have a motion from Councilmember Kavanaugh, motion to approve of Councilmember Kavanaugh, a second from Vice Mayor Jones. Please vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative. The motion carries. Item 17B, Mr. Baxley, I'm assuming that your comments would be similar to 17B as they were for 17A, or do you have anything else you'd like to add to that? Okay, thank you. Any discussion from council members? Well, let's take a motion first. Do we have a motion to approve council? A motion from Councilmember Summers. Do I have a second? Second from Vice Mayor Jones. Do I have any discussion, council member? Okay, please vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative. The motion carries. The next item is 17D. I have a potential conflict on this because I provide professional services to one of the landowners, so I'm going to turn the gavel over to Vice Mayor Jones.
All right, thank you, Mayor. Item 17D is extinguishing a portion of the easement. This is no longer required. Let's see. Extinguishing a portion of a public utilities easement at 1508 North Alta Mesa Drive. This portion of the easement is no longer required as the design of the property has changed and the new plat will dedicate new easements. Do we have anyone who wishes to speak on this item?
Vice Mayor, there were no requests to speak.
Any comments from council members? And I'll entertain a motion. Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Kavanaugh. Please vote. And we have 6 in the affirmative and 1 abstention, the mayor declaring a conflict. Back to you, Mayor.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. The next item on the agenda is item 18C, which calls for repealing Title V, Chapter 19 of the Mesa City Code relating to fortune-telling licenses. This was recommended by the Audit and Finance Committee, vote 3-0. We have 2 requests to speak. Jennifer Adams?
Here?
Yeah, right ahead.
Good evening. I've been here for a very long time. And we really, really, really need to keep our fortune teller's license in place. At least there's background checks that are done. Fingerprinting. I get a very bad reputation from other people that come to see me that tell me they got ripped off. From someone in Phoenix that told them, oh, they have a curse upon them. And they got ripped off. Phoenix is fighting for a business license. so that way they could get the riffraff out.
If we leave our city in danger, there will be a lot of danger. We will have a lot of cons that will come in and set up anywhere they would like. I would actually like to raise the prices on the business license. I feel like it's very important that we at least have some type of background checks, fingerprinting done, to check and see who's legal and who's not, who has a warrant for their arrest, because in another city in Arizona, they could have done something to someone else. There's a lot of con artists.
We need our license. I speak for all of us. The city of Tempe, Glendale, Mesa, never a problem. City of Phoenix has got a lot. I don't want to have a bad reputation because of someone else's damages that they've made. I don't want to have hurt feelings because of someone else's mistakes. I'm sorry. I've been in this city for over 14 years, licensed. A few of the ladies retired in the licensing department. But it's time that we really, really raise the prices on it and keep our license. It's very important. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Adams. Appreciate it. The next speaker is Reverend Nomi Medina. I'm sorry, is it Medina or Medina?
Medina.
Medina.
I want to thank you for the opportunity to express what I think. I'm a reverend, a spiritual metaphysical minister, and I would like it if you can or consider continuing with the license. The only my objection is the amount of the dollars. I feel should be a little less because the amount it is hard for a lot of people. In my case, I profess my religion, whatever I do, and I don't consider myself a fortune teller. And I like to change the nomination about it and keep the fingerprint and keep the check and background for everybody for the sake of Mesa, the public, to be sure everybody's in the ordinance and everybody's honest to keep property, you know, and protecting the community. This is what I will ask it. And papers or certificates to be sure everybody's real and everybody is honest to work with the community. I feel that's a safe, and everybody has to have a fingerprint or pictures taken. I feel $25 or $50 will be good. I feel $300 is a lot. And fortune teller, a lot of people who are ministers or deans, people who have certification or study for all this work, we feel offensive for fortune teller license. That is not my agreement. I will appreciate it if you can consider that change in the nomination, and I'll be happy. You know, it's a lot of people, they can't afford it, or they don't want to be, you know, in a fortune teller title. And you have naming how many people they do the work anyway, and then this is dishonest. But I think in my case, I don't have my reputation and my professional as a minister. I'm not consider myself a fortune teller, and I would appreciate it if you consider that to change the nomination. And thank you for the opportunity. And I can be available anytime who want to, you know, see my credentials. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend. Appreciate it. Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. If we don't mind, I'm going to channel my friend Tom Rawls right now a little bit and talk about this idea of certification or licensing. I very much appreciate your passion and your concern for the community. I think it has to be abundantly clear, however, that the city of Mesa, in holding a license, it really isn't a license. It's not certification. We're not looking at an individual as the state does with our attorneys through the bar, or through our physicians or any number of certified professionals, and saying that this individual has the minimum skill sets with which to operate in their profession. We're just taxing you.
We are just establishing a tax and calling it a license and saying, here's a business that we're going to, I don't care if it's $5 or $50 or $300. All we're doing is collecting money. And quite frankly, and I don't know this for a fact, but quite frankly, I feel that when this was established in 1983, odds on bet were that there were a number of folks who just didn't like your line of work and said, from this point on, if you're going to come here, we're going to make you have to pay to come in. And that's it. That's all this is. If somebody goes to someone in your profession and is ripped off and it's fraud, they need to go to the police department right. Because it's fraud. Yes. If they're robbed, that's a crime. There are crimes that can be committed by any number of professionals, not just your business, but any number of professionals in here that are in the city, and that needs to be handled through the police department. There's a little buyer beware. But ultimately, this license does really nothing for your profession. We are not testing your profession. We are taxing it. And this is the one instance, I say, that a tax on this just doesn't make any sense to me, especially when there's no return for the community as a whole. So I'm going to make a motion that we eliminate, repeal Title V, Chapter 19.
May I say something?
No, I'm sorry, ma'am. We're going to move ahead, okay? Thank you. I appreciate that. We move ahead. We have a motion from Councilmember Summers to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, you want to push your button? We have a second from Councilmember Fenter. Councilmember Higgins.
I would like to say I agree with Ms. Adams that the system that we've had in place since 1993 has protected our community against crooks, as Ms. Adams said. The $300 cost, I believe, is really cost recovery for the fingerprint and background check that we have to do. We're not overcharging them for something. But I think the system has worked for 12 years. I don't believe we have a ton of complaints against fortune telling. And I'm thinking that if we do this up front, keep the licensing, that we may, as a city, actually save money if we have a lot of or con artists that move in. It might be more expensive for the city to pay for constant police upkeep on that. So I believe I'll be voting against this motion. I believe we should keep the license fee and the regulation as it is.
Thank you. Councilmember Richens.
Yeah, I agree. This is one of those instances, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And it doesn't seem like it's broke. So I'm going to vote against the motion as well.
Any other comments? Vice Mayor?
Interesting turn here. I understand why this came forward in the first place, but I will tend to go along with if it isn't broke, don't fix it. The fees may be looked at, but if someone from the industry comes to us and says, please keep the background checks and fingerprinting to know who's doing this, I see no reason why not to continue it. But I do understand Councilmember Summers, why I talked about it as being a tax, but there are some benefits. I'm more in favor of government getting out of things, but when industry wants to have some help and protection, I'm willing to let it remain. So for at least for the time being, I think I will vote against the motion and just let it stay as is for now.
Thank you. I'm really troubled by government and their regulation to begin with. I work in two heavily regulated professions, and I'm torn between this all the time. And I tend to err on the side of unless there is an overriding and well-defined public interest that I think government should let truly the market and the natural forces, because I think it does a pretty good job in most instances. Therefore, I'm going to be voting for this simply because I don't believe that this is an area that government truly should be regulating, and I feel fairly strong about that. So if there's no other comments, so let's be straight. If you're voting for this, you would be voting to repeal,
yes,
to eliminate the regulation of fortune tellers. If you're voting against this, you are voting to retain the regulation, just so we all know.
Okay.
Please vote. The vote is 4 nays and 3 ayes with Councilmember Summers, Councilmember Finter, and the mayor, me, voting in the affirmative. Therefore, the motion fails.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is item 19.1. This is take action on the adoption of a notice of intent to enter into a retail development tax incentive agreement with Empire Southwest LLC and related parties relating to the annexation of certain property on or near Country Club and the US 60. Just a matter of procedure. This is a notice of intent. The final action will not be taken tonight, but I think it was taken off the consent agenda so we could give a little background and let the public know exactly where we are on this and take comments as it relates. We will not be taking final action on this. That will take place at the earliest 2 weeks from tomorrow on July 8th. So we'll turn it over to Ms. Spinner to give us some background on this item.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As you said, you will not be taking final action on this. Adoption of the notice intent just says that we will bring this back for consideration of the council. It has to be at least 14 days. Right now, we're anticipating consideration by the council on July 8th of the development agreement. This is a proposed development agreement with Empire Southwest, who, as you said, is an entity located in the southeast corner of US 60 and Country Club. The campus is made of two different sections. One is privately owned property that is currently outside the city of Mesa. It's on a county island. The second parcel is privately owned property that is within the city of Mesa city limits. Both of these two parcels make up the Empire Southwest campus. All of the retail sales generated on that property is on the property that is outside the city of Mesa, the privately owned property that is now being considered for annexation. This agreement that we will be bringing forward for the council has many different facets to it. Part of it is annexation. So for those portions of the campus that are outside the city of Mesa, they are interested in annexing into the city of Mesa. There are also provisions that will include improvements to Iron Drive that is alongside the Empire Southwest campus. That roadway will also be annexed into the city of Mesa and will be brought up to city of Mesa standards. There are provisions that include the expansion of the campus. They will be adding 164,000 square feet to their facility. And there are also provisions with regard to an economic incentive agreement. If Empire Southwest generates at least $75 million per year in taxable revenue, so revenue that is currently now not being taxed by the city of Mesa but will be eligible for taxation if they annex into the city, they will be eligible to share in the sales tax generated just from that facility. We have included on the notice of intent Exhibit A, which sets out the terms that I just described as well in more detail. These describe the key terms that will be included in the pre-annexation development agreement and maps of the facility so the public can see what this facility is currently, where it's located, how it's currently operating, and as I said, the key terms to this development agreement. Under state law, you to set this into motion, you will consider this notice of intent, as the mayor said, and in 14 days or more, we will bring it back, the entire development agreement, for the council consideration, along with an independent economic analysis report that is required by state law, showing you the economics of this. Will the city of Mesa generate or collect more taxes than it will be providing in economic incentives? That will all be brought back to you in anticipated July 8th. We also anticipate that the full agreement will be available later this week. We're finalizing some of it and hope to make it public as soon as possible. So, Mayor, with that, the notice of intent, if the council chooses to adopt it, it will require 4 votes tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Spinner. Questions or comments by the council? Vice Mayor.
I'll just make a motion for moving forward because...
Well, I didn't see that. Make a motion.
Making a motion to move forward. That's in my district, or will be in my district, or eventually, yeah. But there's been a lot of movement in the the individuals involved have a great desire to move forward with this, and our staff is doing very well to make sure that the city is protected, and that we will be getting a great benefit from this agreement. So I move that we go forward with it.
Thank you. We have a second by Councilmember Kavanaugh. Any other discussion, questions? I'd like to, I guess, make one point. I know we're having an economic analysis, which is required by state law. I'm assuming that based on the terms that we have talked about so far, that we believe that the benefits to the city financially exceed or far exceed any cost that would be borne by the city. Mr. Brady, if you could comment to that.
That's correct, Mayor. Here we have a large facility that employs a significant number of individuals. And so we anticipate that since we're not currently collecting any revenues from that source, that with a guaranteed, even to split the benefit of $75 million in taxable revenue, we will see that the benefits that we'll receive in revenues will certainly outweigh the cost of providing services or any obligations that we may have. But we'll have that confirmed by a third-party source.
Okay, thank you. I look forward to the development agreement, which later this week we'll have that. It will be made available to the public.
Yes, Mayor, it will.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion? Please vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative. The motion passes. Okay. Items from citizens present. Ms. Crocker, do we have any requests?
Mayor, there are no requests to speak.
Oh. We have one. She wants to wish us happy anniversary. Thank you.
Pretty much.
Can you go ahead and state your name and address, please?
Hi, my name is Sophia Tesh. I live at 119 West Indigo Street, Mesa. And I wasn't planning to speak tonight, but I did want to address your Councilman Summers' invitation to the citizens of Mesa to participate more. And I wanted to thank him for that. And I think that from what I've noticed with the previous council, a lot of people in Mesa didn't feel that they were being heard or that participating mattered. But I hope that through watching and seeing how the new council is treating citizens with respect and actually listening, and that actually, it's ironic that the fortune tellers were the first people to bring this to us. But yeah, I mean, they were actually heard and listened to and actually went in their favor. Not that it will guarantee go in your favor if you come here. But I would, too, as a citizen, like to invite my fellow citizens to come and participate. And I think with the budget, and specifically that people thought at this point, it's kind of done. And I think in a way, maybe it's not, but it pretty much is. But I hope that within this next year that people will actually, you know, visit the City of Mesa website and understand how this whole process works, and that they don't have to necessarily leave their house for every bit of it. On the Mesa website, there is a City Hall link where you can actually see the agenda ahead of time, which I think maybe a lot of people don't understand, that you can know what your topic is before you get here and hopefully not ramble like I am now. but I just want to say again, thank you for that, Councilmember Summers, and I hope, too, that with the new council and the great job you're doing, and I read about what happened in D.C., so that's great that we're getting more help with immigration, and the other thing was the Gateway Airport. So amazing that you did that, and thank you for that, and going to D.C. and representing us so well. And that's it. I've rambled enough. Thank you very much for your time.
Ms. Tesh, thank you so very much. Appreciate it.
Move for adjournment.
We have a motion for adjournment. Second, before I got to go. Okay, it's 30 years. Jack in the Box or Wendy's? Which one are we headed to? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.